Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18 to 20. Are you listening to the Spirit of God? That's what we've been looking at. And I highlighted the reason for that was someone whom I was relating with and kept telling me things. And I asked, are we dealing with the Spirit of God? Are you sure what is leading you, guiding you, telling you what to do is the Spirit of God? I must say this, you know. Can a believer yield to an evil spirit? Sure. Scriptures teach that we should give no place to the devil, Ephesians 4:27. And of course, there is talking majorly about anger, wrath, bitterness, strife. You know, and James also talks about resist the devil, submit yourselves unto God. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Which means that you have to resist the devil. If you don't resist the devil, that means you yield to the devil. And so where Satan, for example, drops thoughts, ideas to believers, and it takes them a while to detect, or they even detect and they don't mind, then that believer is yielding to the devil. And we can have believers, if a believer can walk in the flesh, Galatians 5:16, walk in the spirit, you won't feel loss of flesh, then a believer can yield to the devil. And I'm saying yield to the devil in the sense of taking instructions. For example, if your guidance is through a non-Christian, Ephesians 2:1 says, you are still quickened, King James, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. He says, who walked according to the course of this world. Then he says, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. That's talking about the unbeliever. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the flesh, through the flesh of the mind, were nature children of wrath, even as others. So that shows you that when you refer to walking the flesh, it could just be you are taking ideas, inspiration, and counsel without checking it from the world. And so that is, that in sense, that believer is yielding to the enemy. So when I asked the lady, I said, are you sure we are listening or yielding, or we are dealing, that's the word actually, we are dealing with the Spirit of God here? And you know, you can know if it's the Spirit of God by the fruit of it. You know, you can always see something and see the fruit. And sometimes the fruit is not necessarily what happened after. It's what you can see will happen. You know. And so you can say, well, this is the consequence. The Spirit of God cannot cause you, for example, to cause confusion. I mean, in that sense, God is not of confusion, as in the Judges 1 Corinthians 40:33. I mean, of course, we can always explain that, you know, in different ways. But the point is, a believer can yield as an act of his will to the devil. And we saw how a man by the name of Peter in Matthew 16, from 16 through to 17 and 18, 19, he said, oh, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are thou, Son of God, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And therefore, I say unto you, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever things you bind us, and heaven, whatever things you lose, I shall lose heaven. And that looks like a wonderful moment, a moment of glory, till you hear Peter's speech from verse 21, 22, 23, when Jesus has to say, get behind me, Satan. And obviously, whatever he said at that point was an opposition to God's will. So it's possible to switch. It's possible to switch from the spirit to the flesh. And so when we say, are you listening to God's spirit? It is to check your decisions and say, is this the Spirit of God? that I'm listening to. And that's the essence. So Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them and said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. They will teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you until the end of the age. And I said to that, when I said I am with you there, he brings in a good number of realities. The fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament, which culminates in God living in us. He said, I am with you there. That's Exodus 29:45. I will dwell with them. I will walk in them. I am with you. I am, that's the Yahweh. Where you have the Yahweh of the Old Testament is the I am of the epistles. I'm with you always to the end of the age. So, in other words, that shows the indwelling of the Spirit. John 14:16, and I'll pray the Father, he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, but you know him, for it dwells with you and shall be in you. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. In a little while, the world will see me, and the world, they won't see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live there, you live also. John 14:18-19:20, and that day you will know I am in my Father, and I am in you, and you are in me. So that explains the Matthew 28:20. I'm with you is the indwelling of the Spirit. So the indwelling of the Spirit, therefore, will also, the indwelling of the Spirit provides for us supernatural direction. That is, there's direction in the indwelling of the Spirit. There's direction there. Direction is not an answer to prayer, even though we pray. Direction is not a confession, even though we confess. Direction is a provision that we have because of the indwelling of the Spirit. That's what direction is. It's not because you prayed. It's not that you made God do something. No. Direction is the provision in the indwelling of the Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the age. And so the question we ask is, are you listening to God's Spirit? Because we are in this world, we are not of this world. So you have to ask whether you are listening. And don't forget, we said the other day that it's part of discipleship to learn how God leads. Alright, so the I am with you is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That is, the indwelling provides that direction. So when he calls that indwelling the Spirit of truth, in John 14:16-17, that brings in a key word in the epistles. When you say truth, truth is where you have aletheia. In the Greek, it's a comparison to what is not true, not necessarily falsehood, but what is a shadow, a type. Alright? So, by saying the Spirit of truth, a fact comes to us that in God's leading, there is clarity. Clarity, and I said to you that God, whenever you are having confusion, is it God? Is it not God? I said, he's not in the middle of that. When the Spirit of God, and sometimes the reason why many of us miss it, not a lot of us, not most of us, but why people miss it, let me take that properly, is because of the simplicity of God's leading. It's the same with the gospel. You know, last week we mentioned how you must receive his leading like babes. Can you remember? The simplicity sometimes, it gets some of us like, you know, it's the same way I mentioned that when I functioned in the gifts of the Spirit initially, I didn't know it was. In fact, I didn't know that was how it was until I was told, no, that's the gift of the Spirit. I didn't know. I thought it was going to be something, and particularly when I got born, not born again, in the white garment church. And I knew how people used to see visions. And know things. I know there was a lot of drama to it. Somebody would, of course, well, there was this, there's the one that they would put candle and Incense. No incense. Not frankincense. Oh. Yeah, there you go. And then the prophet will bring out one rod and then he put something on your head. Yeah, so when I grew up with that, naturally I will have believed that when the Spirit of God reveals something to you, there will be all those slow motions. And somebody is just twirling around. Prah, 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 prah. You know, and most of the time then when we go to service, very young as I was, when somebody begins to carry that spirit, I'll just say, oh my God, we're not going home on time today. They have carried spirit. And then, the funny thing is, some of the things I saw as a young child in those churches, I've seen now in multiple dimensions in Pentecostal churches. It's just that it shoots. It's the same thing. And when the person carries the spirit, and I won't forget, the one that stood out was the one that a lady carried the spirit and said that I had to stay in the church for I think a week or two, and I wasn't going to go to school. And that made me not write some tests and all that. And I was saying that then they'll give you corn and stuff like that. And right inside that church, I said I was going to become a soldier. And the sole reason was to plan coup, remove the government, and ban all the churches. And I was serious. How can you see that a child? And they said that there was evil. And the funny thing about the evil was, I stayed indoors, the church building, but the church building was not locked. So I just reasoned that, okay, if there was evil, this is the church building, open. There was no gate in the church. I know the place very well. And you can easily cross us. So if there's evil, the evil is just come inside. You know? And for 1 week, even if the evil is looking for you and didn't find you in school, goes home inside. It now follows your parents to service and it sees you there. This is how I reasoned as a child. I said, the evil have come here. I said, let me become president. I will shut down the churches. That will be my first school speech. Some of you don't know schools. I understand. If you knew when there was school, fellow Nigerian, you don't know fellow Nigerian? Fellow Nigerians. That was my plan. So, naturally I felt that was the way you, so, by the time I gave a word of knowledge, my friend said, that's a word of knowledge. I said, what's that? He said, hey. It looked funny to me. I felt it was psyching me up. You mean I didn't like, because sometimes when it comes to God's leading, because some of us have had the idea and you have watched movies, if God is going to talk, you felt, for example, that when John was baptized, when he baptized Jesus, pardon me, that would be a strange one, that he says, everybody just froze. This is my beloved son. A woman, well, please. John says, and then a dove came. You know, all that picture is in your mind. Alright? But the truth is, God talks to you clearer than I'm speaking to you. I mean, clearer than I'm speaking to you. If you've ever heard a person speak, see, I'm talking to you. You know I'm talking to you. You know I'm the one talking. You can hear me very well what I'm saying, except if you have grammar issues. If I say, stand up and you sit down. Then I'll say, which secondary school did you attend? If I say, sit down, you stand up. Maybe they taught you from the back. But naturally, you are hearing what I'm saying. Okay? You can hear what I've said. You can put it together. God speaks clearer than that. So if you know how to listen to men, then you know how to listen to God. That's the first thing you have to realize. So, don't have a mindset about the Spirit of God and His revelation. So you have clarity, and the clarity is such that oftentimes when we are about spiritual activities, it becomes more obvious. For example, when we are praying, when we study the word, You know, and all those nudgings you have in your spirit, where as you study the word, you kind of hear like, that's what I was telling you the other day about that fellow in your office or in your neighbor. And you don't know that that's actually God talking to you. So it comes in that simple that we can miss it. Brother Higgins was saying today, he said that you can easily miss the supernatural because you are looking out for the spectacular. That is, you are looking out for something else. And you know, oftentimes when believers are talking about God's leading, somewhere in their subconscious, many believers now, they are waiting for something to speak from outside. But the truth is that when you say God is talking to me, God talks to you in the spirit. And that's something that has to be very clear. You are the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16, because the Spirit of God lives in you. At the temple of the living God, at the temple, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 6:19. You know, so that's where the leading is. That means God doesn't lead you by your feelings. Okay? We'll come to that before the end of the service. He doesn't lead you by your feelings or by logic. You know, some of us just are logical. We believe a lot in planning. And so when something is well planned out, it looks intelligent, it looks achievable, we think, you are more persuaded because it's logical. You are more persuaded. And sometimes it's what people believe is God's will because they are actually convinced in the logic behind it, in the way it appears, in the way it sounds. You know, of course, by the time I do this and I do this and I do that, you know, it makes a lot of sense. But you see, that's like setting a barrier for yourself, right? So, So you just know that it's not your feelings. It's not the way you feel. You know, you can feel towards human beings, right? You can feel about situations, feel bad, feel sad, feel glad. But when it comes to leading of the Spirit of God, it is an impression from your spirit that is not teleguided by what anybody is saying or is doing. And this is why I often define the inward witness. Now, I will ask you to go and listen to teachings on inward witness, leaders and perception. The way I've been teaching the inward witness, this is the definition I give to it. And I got it from a friend in something he taught in 1995. And he said that, I added something to it, but it's just about the same thing. The inward witness is the witness of the human spirit born again. The witness of the human spirit born again to a fact that is exposed to it. The witness of the human spirit that is born again to a fact that is exposed to it. Now, a fact can be a person, can be an event, can be a plan, can be a purpose, can be a motive, can be a picture, can be a statement. So the inward witness is the witness of the human spirit born again. Now, don't lose these simple explanations. The witness of the human spirit born again to a fact, that is, it's about a fact that is exposed to it. So what does it do? It either endorses it, refutes it, endorses, refutes, cautions, or slows things down. Endorses, refutes, acknowledges, cautions, or slows things down. So that is, sometimes you are making a plan, you are doing, and then you just have a witness like slowing you down. And I like how TJ explained it back then. I mean, there was a series we did then, the anatomy. He was a crazy guy. He had a teaching, anatomy of a miracle. Don't bother, let me tell you the details. But he used to say something that when it comes to the leading of the Spirit of God, and I found out also from scripture, of course, and from practice, that there will sometimes be an inaction in the body. Like, it will almost be like something physically is stopping your body. You know, But it's actually not the body. It's actually an impression of the spirit that you just know that you know that there's. I mean, sometimes you'll be feeling cold, and the weather is hot. You'll be feeling uncomfortable, and the food is okay, the bed is okay, everything is fine. Do you get it? And sometimes people quickly interpret it as fear. It's not fear. You know, it's not fair. For example, some people, I'll tell you something. Some people quickly, the way they discern God's leading is always fear. And that's why when you see somebody, all he says when he's talking about the Holy Ghost is something bad, something bad, something bad. The person is bad. Alright? Sometimes, now that's just a joke. I'm trying to say that it may just be a lack of understanding. At times it's just hold on. You know, I remember that, you know, there's this teaching about prayer that when you pray, God will always say yes. And then, it's a very smooth teaching like that. God doesn't say no. He doesn't say hold on. You know, and of course, that's because you are talking about things. So it flows. God doesn't say, I know. And then what scripture do you have? His word is yea and amen. Did he say your prayer is yea and amen? It's the promise of his son. That is yea and amen. And in the promise of his son, there is no Cadillac there or limousine. For there to be yes or no. So, by the time you look at, can we pray about something and God will say no? Yes. Because in Acts 16, when they were going to go to Asia, God said no. No, let's even say, don't even talk about prayer. If they ask you, now you have been a Christian for a few days, can God say no? Just answer that. Not prayer, don't let's bring prayer in. Can God say no? Eh? Or everything you want to do is yes to God. I want to slap him, yes. I want to steal money, yes. No. God says no. You get it? The spirit restrains us. So that means God says no. So if God says no to our desires, to what we want, that means that in the place of prayer, we can discover the witness of God's no. The witness of God's no. I remember, you know, one thing recently, somebody gave me a proposal, and I was on it. But in prayer, I just, you know, there's just that inaction. And one of the things that can happen is, without you being deliberate, the thing just leaves your mind. Not that you, God of the mind, you are not there, it just leaves your mind. And I've learned not to think I forgot. If I've not forgotten to pray, I've not forgotten to study the word, I've not forgotten to listen to my spirit, and I forget about something that I was trying to do, I've learned to see that I didn't forget it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That no, it's like I was talking to a pastor friend who's in North America. So we're discussing. I said to him, I said, many times, when you pray in the spirit, you may rearrange circumstances. And that circumstance now rearranges itself. And almost like your own plans are upstaged. But you will know with a note of assurance in your spirit, or from your spirit, pardon me, that there's something divine about you not doing what you wanted to do before. And it will be logical. One of the ways I explain the inward witness is that is usually not logical. So it's not like you thought it up. You didn't think it up. It's not logical. You might never know the result of disobedience till eternity. That's just the truth. Oftentimes, when I look at some things we are doing today and others are doing with us, and I look at what if we didn't obey, you will never know what will have happened. You will have gone ahead with your own plans. What if I had married the wrong person? You would not have known what will have happened. A lot of other decisions will come after it. And for quite a number of people, they can adjust and then start to prove what is wrong as right. That's you adjusting, just adjust and saying, what? Ah. You know? So, the inward witness is a response, also a reaction to something that is said, something is about to be done, something that is done, something that is being planned. Sometimes it's a thought. You are just thinking through. And then you just find that there's just a check. I think we call it like you are washing your feet with socks on. You know, like you just know that there's just a feeling of mm-mm. And then you can't really logically explain it. Does it make sense? At the initial stages. So, there's just an inaction. Now, don't forget, we're not talking doubt, anxiety, and fear. No. Doubt, anxiety, and fear. So, God, you know, look at what I just said now. It looks very simple, but that's exactly what it is. It looks so simple. So you must learn to respond in faith to that witness. Amen. Hallelujah. So when it comes to God's leading, I am a babe. So which means you mustn't think you have mastered God's leading. No. You will be a babe yesterday, today, and forever. Don't master it. Don't say I've mastered it. No. And particularly we're in a world, I like how Larry used to say then, Larry Amos, a friend of mine, he said, look, he said in church, you always feel like, you can hear God clearly because you are hearing the word. He said, it's when you step out on a Monday morning, Tuesday, and a lot of activities now overshadow your mind. Thoughts have come right, center, left. You have read things. In fact, when he said that, there was no social media. I'm sure she will have said more things. Social media is a world in itself where you can listen to 100 people within 10 minutes. You know, I mean, in 10 minutes, 100 people from different persuasions. In fact, some they yield to different kinds of spirits that have not even met themselves. that even the kingdom of darkness did not met. So you just read after them, and some of them look very, very logical. You know, like what we were saying earlier, you know, about things happening in Africa. And I said to you, look, it's when you don't pray that you know you won't see the implication. You know, so you can pray and not act. You pray, but your lifestyle is different. So when you enter everyday activities, a lot of things will have happened. People have said things. You'll have had disappointments. Things are not going to be smooth. Somebody will have said something that shouldn't have said, you know. So a lot of things are already in your mind. It's not like you're in church, you're opening to Matthew, Revelation. I say, wow, Jesus, Christocentric. You know, that's the word. But this one, people are going to just say all sorts. And there will be pressures as well. Pressures of work, family, pressures of friends, pressures of society. So that is the reason why it appears the inward witness is difficult to detect. You notice that when you are praying, not the kind of praying, because when we see this, we have to actually, I was saying I was going to teach a series on Matthew 6. That Jesus said, when you pray, you enter into the closet. I will need to have a transition on that closet. And then we'll put transliteration. When you pray, shut your phone. That's enter into the closet. Because I think the Lord Jesus, knowing everything, did not include in his grammar phones. You can be in the closet and you are open. I've seen people, if I was, it was a few days ago that I just felt, I was looking at our pictures of some of our meetings, and I felt uncomfortable. And so we are going to change something about the way we take pictures in meetings. I just felt uncomfortable. And it wasn't anything. I tried to feel, why was I feeling that way? And it was the second time I knew what it was. I'll tell you later. So, when you see somebody into today and he's praying to the Lord, and it takes, you know, there's a problem. The point is that he's actually in his closet. Do you understand? But he's not closed. So, when you are alone, I remember somebody Pastor Gringa was saying something today about when you are reading a book, if you have ever flown long distance, remember you had to fly and maybe not 45 minutes, I'm saying 6 hours, 8 hours. You know, your phone is off automatically, except if it's all those Wi-Fi ones. Again, see, the devil has followed you to here. that look, you have to keep chatting. you will never have rest. You know, they don't have, imagine the in-flight Wi-Fi, and it's so interesting. So, and you are in the air, and there's no in-flight Wi-Fi, and then you take a book. You know, you actually read it and enjoy it, because you are not doing anything. Nobody is going to call you. Well, God help you that there's no child crying in the cabin. But just 8 hours, 9 hours, maybe you are going to America 11 hours, or you are going somewhere in Africa 5-6 hours. And that's all you are doing. You know, sir, there's just a clarity of what you are reading generally. Now try to read the same book in traffic, Lagos traffic. No, you are being driven, oh. Then they put on the radio. You hear. Okay. Huh. There are commentaries about something. You know, you are reading, you're saying, what? Can you see the difference? So, it's the same book, oh, but other things. So, the reason why it appears like we can't detect the leading of God's Spirit is because of those activities. So, you must develop an attitude of being alone in the midst of people. And generally, a Christian must observe quiet time. A Christian is not somebody known talking all the time. You know? So, what I'm saying basically is that this is why at times, like, you didn't hear anything. You did. It's just the activities that surrounded you. I said the other day, and I like one description someone once gave. The person was actually a member of the ministry, just taught this in one of the seminars. That was in 96. That is like a signal coming from a TV station. The signal is clear. Check your receiver. So that receiver is loaded with all sorts of ideas. So it becomes more difficult because of the things on my mind. And that's why if there's anything a believer should not be, except with God's word, a believer should not be stubborn. A believer should not be a strong-willed person except with God's word. So, like I said, and then be too logical. Too logical. So, the inward witness is that response of the human spirit that is born again to facts exposed to it. So now, let's just say a few things. Look at the issue of prayer, for example. You know? Some people believe that. Some people use prayer like, call it a magic wand. They just pray to end. So prayer is like a means to an end. So the moment they pray, there's something called they are prayed, you know? But really, prayer is not like that in scripture. If prayer is taught at all, it's taught as a constant thing. Romans 12:12, continue instant in prayer. Okay? Colossians 4:2-3, again, the same statement. Then you now have Ephesians 6:18, praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So, if you have all of that, and then it says, of course, Philippians 4:6, which deals with persecution really. It says, be anxious for nothing, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I remember some Pastor Ola said years back that blessed me. She was sitting in one house of faith, madam. This was 98 or so. And then she said that though the statement there is, be anxious for nothing, that we always go to prayer first. But I have to take the first decision, be anxious for nothing. That's the first thing. That if you are anxious, the prayer is just a waste. That you first of all choose not to be anxious. Instead of being anxious, you now pray. Not with anxiety, pray. I guess that's some blessing. So, which means that even your attitude in prayer matters a lot. If you're anxious, you're worried, you're fearful, it might dominate while you're praying. So the prayer itself is a constant, something you do all the time. Therefore, what am I saying? Look at Acts 13. Before we go to Acts 13, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus is interesting. He prayed as he was being baptized by John, Luke 3:21. He prayed. You know his entire prayer history, Luke 6:12-13. He prayed all night. But while he was going to the cross, John 17 says he prayed. And then, of course, the Garden of Gethsemane experience, which is the same thing, he prayed. So, the instance there is that prayer, therefore, is not a means to an end. It's not something you stop doing because you now got God's direction on something. Even in what he has told you to do, you have to keep praying. So, in Acts 13, for example, when in Acts 13:2, he said, they met the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them. He says then, when they had prayed, so that means they didn't stop praying because they got a leading. You pray before, you pray during, you pray after. So never use prayer like a mantra or like a magic wand. Pam, 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 I prayed. Prayer is not a means to an end. It's something you do all the time. So we must, you know, have that attitude. There's an attitude you can carry in every day of being, you know, willing. Just, you are willing to listen. Which I said last week. You know, I said that there were three books that Hagin wrote primarily on leading. There was one, How to Play by the Spirit of God. And it's a series I'm listening to right now because I'm teaching this. Every time I'm teaching this series every year, I listen to it and I read the books. Now, he teaches that. Then he wrote another one, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits and Following God's Path for Your Life. And I said that, yes, the doctrine of the leading is in How to Play by the Spirit of God. But it's in that those other two books that the attitude is dealt with, the attitude of consecration, obedience, where, because after listening, or let me say, after knowing God's leading, then there's what you are now doing with it, which is where consecration and obedience, they come in. So sometimes for some of us, it's not, I don't know. It's like, will I have to do this? You get it? And that may be just what many have in their minds. For example, I in ministry, let me use ministry for example, I grew up traveling a lot. And that's the way I used to consciously say I was not a pastor. Consciously. In fact, my earlier years in ministry, they didn't used to call me pastor. When I was ordained, which is 25 years ago, I didn't use the title reverend. I never allowed anybody to call me pastor. I used brother, of course, because of Kenneth Hagin. And also because I had a deeper life background. But more so, I didn't want a thought of pastoring. So every time I pastored, I was always very, very short-lived. Then I left. Now, pay attention. So, pastoring therefore now became a very strange leading that upset whatever I was thinking before. You know, that's why I said, you must have an attitude of submission. This is what God wants you to do. And when you observe scripture very well, see, majority can be wrong. Majority can be wrong. There was somebody who was talking at a minister's conference today, so he was discussing. I was now talking to Pastor Tokes this afternoon. And I said, now, the person was talking about family life, that the first place of ministry is the family. And when he was done, and I asked the question, that what you have said now, it looks logical, because it's an American thinking. You just use scripture to back it up. I said, but Jesus and Paul were not married. So, where are you going to get that information from? What you have said is desirable, but that appears to me like an overwhelming thinking pattern, which is desirable, is fine. I said, but you have simply just uttered an idea, because many people are saying it. But the two most vital writers or commentators in the New Testament will not have your experience. They don't. So you can keep that ideology out of scripture. You can say it. There's nothing wrong. For example, there are things you desire that are not evil. But do not become so fixated on them, so when God is talking to you, you are not listening. Because you have a mindset towards it. I said, no, there's no point thinking your desire, what you like, is God's will. No, it's not. And God may have somebody else do something, and you cannot do it. Or you should not do it. It's so simple. That's why comparison sometimes with some of those specifics is not good. God will have someone do something else. God will have this kind of person travel, and the other person is not traveling. I know someone, for example, who has a citizen, a passport, an American passport, pardon me. And then he said he was led never to go back there. You know, those are important things. I met a woman, very sound, who said to me that God told her that she shouldn't wear earrings. And she doesn't preach it though. All her friends, of course, someone that I can talk to very well. She won't even mention it to you. So you are not going to think, she was keep on wearing jewelry. Keep on wearing your jeans, sister. Jesus is coming back again. Keep on palming your hair. Keep on. She's not going to say anything like that. I know someone else, of course, another woman, who, one of the reasons she has refused to come to our meetings, I've been calling her for WCC for years, is that she's not led to go to anywhere Christ has been preached. That every time she comes around those who are already saved, she feels like she's committing a sin. That's leading you. And from a very wealthy background, when I look at the tragedy of her life, she lost her husband within a year of marriage. In fact, less than a year of marriage, because she was pregnant when the man died, and that was a few years, because I was even part of those who joined them in marriage in 1998. And then she took a vow not to get married. You know, from a wealthy, I don't want to mention family in Nigeria, very wealthy, you know, and then took a decision, of course, well-read, not like she left school. She even went further to acquire, you know, postdoctoral degrees in pediatrics and works for big organizations. But the entire salary, I really want her to come and see it herself. But let's keep praying that God will lead her to Saints Community Church. Or we should just tell her, we have not known Christ yet. So that you say, yeah. I just say, but today you don't really know Christ though. You know, you know, she's a very funny individual. You know, that kind of thing. Goes, doesn't have a social media account, doesn't have anything like that. Just goes to where Christ is not known. All over the world. As at 2000 and something, they had planted over 200 churches in places that had never heard Christ before. They go into, you know, jungles, they go into towns, they go into places in Europe, you know, and, you know, South America, Europe, and some parts of Asia. Just go. And well funded, because everything she has puts in there. That's a leading. you know, and she will say that what you are doing is wrong. Do you understand? But what she's led to do is what she will compare, if you like, tell her that you are covering the earth. Say, she just looks at you. She's not moved. You know? She's not moved. I remember somebody was asking me to talk to her. You know, that, you know, she's now in her 40s. You know, how long is she going to mourn her husband? As a husband. 21 years ago. There was no husband. Don't you understand? 21 years ago, that can't be husband. She's not mourning anything. She talked to her. I said, the minute I start that discussion, and I rate it up, I said, she won't say anything. When I say something, she says something else. I say, I've done it. And I don't usually get into that kind of trouble with people. I just let people to hang to do. I just like a joke. How far now? She just says something else. Ah, we were in Comoros Island. And I just say, you know, she calls me a mentor. But that's the way I say, shut up, mentor. You know, I talked about team. I mean, the kind of team they are with. And the way they put their team together, they all mess up naturally, and somehow they all had the same kind of direction from God. I tell people, you are going to sit down with people like that in eternity. Think very well, though. And you have no story. Nothing to show you obeyed God. Ah, thank God. Finish work. Everything you have is finish work. Oh, glory, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. As he is, so are we. How? How are you as he is? As he is, so are you. Do you look alike? As he is, so you should be. You know, so you discover that, you know, that kind of person, you doesn't find herself comparing. And sincerely, there's some things that when some people do it, do you like that thing? I see what a church does. It's not like, just no, I'm just saying, hey. I just can't see myself do something like this. I'm not being conservative, but just, no, I'm not called to do this. At all. Someone was telling me, he said, can you not do something as well? He's a senior minister like that. He said, what if you write? I said, sorry, sir. I almost say I cannot go in this. So I will feel like Saul. I said, I cannot do it. So, in that thing, we all have to deal with our mindsets. And, Brother Hagin, I think I mentioned it last week. And, you know, they made Kenneth Hagin almost sing when he appeared on television. That he should come and do a TV broadcast. Of course, they used to show his meetings. But I'm saying no. That's why his videos are not many. Not many. He said God told him the written word, the written pages and radio. And the truth is that when you now look at how the influence of Kentucky ministry spread in the world, it was the same thing. Very strangely. In fact, there was a story on how it came to Africa and South America. Just the same, just the books. And he didn't leave America. When you look at his generation, people traveled a lot. He had a very close friend, T.L. Osborne. If I listen to both of them today, T.L. Osborne, at the time they had this particular joint interview with Pastor Hagin. So Pastor Hagin was 80 yesterday. And T.L. Osborne had gone to about 70 countries. And they were both talking, and they are very good friends. When they spoke, they were already friends for 53 years. Yes. No. We were friends since 1953. Yeah. Well, about 50 years was that discussion. And you know, there was just nothing about comparison. You have been to 70 nations. I've just been to America, South Africa, and I'm here. And there's not like, hallelujah. Lord, when will you use me to? Use me, Lord. No. That's staying in God's room. The person is someone you talk to, but you have come to a place where you are not walking in comparison. You don't desire what others do and have because you know God's purpose and plan. There are some things Saints Community Church will never do. And we have the capacity to do them. We have the capacity to do them. Even younger ministers who were not born when I began preaching are doing it. And it's not evil. But we're not led to. That's all to it. So, in life generally, you just ask yourself, you know, there's no point comparing yourself. It's wasted. It's unnecessary. It's going to be a life of regret. Because all you'll be doing is doing what people are doing. And you'll never do one thing. You'll do many things. And you'll never have bus stop. You'll just keep doing till everything is done and then undone. Because you will do efficiently what you ought not to have done at all. Are you learning something? So the simplicity is really what gets to some of us. And one thing I found out about God and His will is, if you are faithful with little, you have much. Your faithfulness with what He tells you here is why He will tell you something else. So in other words, you have to be faithful. Faithfulness means to do what you are told to do and be a good steward of it. Alright, look at Samuel, you know, for Samuel. It's interesting how when God was going to call Samuel, He called him, He said, Samuel. Then He went to Eli and He says, did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. What I found in that was, it was the same thing that was repeated. He heard it again. Then the third time, He now goes back. Of course, it appeared like it was the voice of Eli that God used to talk to him. So God is not complicated. It's something you can understand. So by the time he went to thought that Eli being an ex-service man, I remember when I was a soldier, you know, he was a retired minister. He said, it's the Lord. He said, lie down. He knew the exegesis. Lie down. And say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. But the point was, it's the same thing was said. So you don't determine how God speaks. All you just do, that's simplicity, you know. We looked at Elijah the other time, I believe, yes. Elijah, sorry, 1 Kings, when he had thought there was an earthquake, he had thought it was going to be storms, fire. It was just a still, small voice. And a still, small voice is something that is very discernible, very simple, easy to hear. I don't think there's anybody here that can hear fire very well or thunder. But you know, a still small voice is the easiest to hear. And it's the one that you can despise easily. Okay, I was saying something about, you have watched movies, and it's in many of Christian movies. When I was acting drama, we always speak the guy who has the baritone voice to act like God, or the Holy Spirit. No, God the Father. I said, My son. Michael! I don't know where they got that from. Uriel! You don't know Uriel? So you are used to that. Or they say, His Holy Spirit just goes, Michael! Yeah, I want you to. That's Holy Spirit. But you know, you hardly think that God will talk to you in this voice. I'm saying this voice now. So, Pastor, it's like sometimes I just hear you talk to me. I'm not the one talking. It's not me. It's not me. Before you say you saw me somewhere, let me just stop there. It's not me. It's just that a voice you can easily listen to. God will use it. You know, if you come to church regularly, I put that as a caveat, it's likely that you hear that so often, and it will urge you, caution you, guide you. It's not me talking to you. It's God talking to you. The reason why it sounds like my voice is because it's a way you can understand it. Amen. That's the way you can hear it. I mean, for example, if there's somebody you don't like, and then that's the voice you hear, it can't be called disobedience. Because that's already Satanas. It's the voice of the accuser. But jokes apart, the truth is, why you think I'm the one you are listening to is because that's what you can readily understand. In fact, some people tell me that at times it's like the voice of their earthly father, who may not even be born again. It's so that it's something you are easily going to listen to, and you are easily going to eat to. Let me see if I follow what I'm talking about. You know, it's not that difficult. It's just because you were expecting an heavenly language. John 12. So look at Acts 13 2. The Holy Ghost said, and 3. How does the Holy Ghost said? You know, that's an utterance. An utterance was given. Now, I believe that the utterance will have come through somebody there. An utterance. And then they said, the Holy Ghost said. How come they didn't say, brother, Simon said? You know, that's interesting. The Holy Ghost said. Just that utterance in the believers' meeting is that simple way he's talking to you. That utterance, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barabbas and Saul, for the work I've called them. Someone's voice was used by God to talk to Paul. It's not interesting that this is someone who saw Jesus, had that divine encounter in Acts 9, and see where the clarity came of time, utterance, said through someone else. In Acts 14, so you should never look into circumstances for God's leading. Look at the Spirit. Either within your physical body, the Holy Ghost within your physical body, or through another believer. Never be led by the media. And I'm going to say this again. I said this in one of the services. I don't envy the social media generation. Ah, man, you guys, I don't envy you. There's a whole lot that is leading us. I don't want to say you so that you think I'm accusing you. That you may not even detect it. You know, there was one video I saw, and the fellow was talking about, and I shared it with someone else, and he didn't see a sense in what the fellow was saying. He said, how many of you have your Bibles in the service? So somebody listened to his phone, said, no, that's not a Bible, that's a phone. You know, it's a very simple thing. Say, that's not a Bible, that is a phone. Is there no WhatsApp there? Say, yes. Don't you have Instagram there? How is it holy? The guy kept quiet. You know, it looks simple. He said, you have a Bible in a device that at the same time you can be doing something else. It takes away the sanctity of that devotion. Now, someone will hear that, the guy is old school. It's not true. And it's not about being in Nigeria or being in America. I know a church, one of the largest in America, I don't want to mention the pastor's name, they use physical Bibles. Yes, everybody. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to take your tablet. Please don't quote me. But I've used an illustration that this is, you can't call this your Bible. This, your Bible is in the midst of a queer and perverse generation. like in the midst of darkness, you know. Because you have Facebook there, you have Instagram, everything is there. And then the Word of God is, okay, lighten up the dark places. What do you call it at that point? So, look at the Spirit. Acts 14. Did I give you this illustration about coming into a light from darkness? Okay, don't forget that. Acts 14:9. Perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Acts 14:9. There's a perception. And perception usually is a function of earlier experiences. He had seen this before. That's why I said, for me, after a while I knew, oh, if I suddenly, now it's not forgetting things naturally, I'm planning, I just become slow. Have you seen that before? That you were doing something actively, then almost unplanned, you slowed down. Has that happened to you mentally? It should, you're a Christian. You just slowed down in an unplanned fashion. It's not a mistake. Oh. And you now started to rework it again. When you were reworking it, you knew you were forcing something. You knew you were forcing something. So, perception oftentimes is like, you have known this. So when you see it, you recognize it. Acts 14. Then you see another place, Acts 16 verse 18. Paul was grieved, then turned to the Spirit. Where you just feel uncomfortable. You are just uncomfortable. You are just uncomfortable. And it's just, is in the Spirit. It's not like they took light and you're feeling hot. No. Or there's no power, pardon me. Oh, no, no. Or it's not a feeling of fear. Acts 17, verse 16. His spirit was stirred, provoked. Stirred. Was provoked. Like stirred to do something. Provoked. Now, all this is in our book, Leading of the Spirit. I know that it is not available now, but you can, all the other things on Leading of the Spirit, Leading of Perception, you find it there. Provoked to do something. In the Spirit is a reaction. Acts 18 verse 5 was pressed in the Spirit like a compelling, pressed or inspired in the Spirit. Then verse 9, you have visions. So where you have, you now have a divinely granted appearance as well. A pastor was telling me that this was interesting. Just 2 days ago, I was just led to speak to him, but I was waiting. I knew I was going to talk to him. I picked the phone to call him, but I knew what I was going to say, but I just dropped it. I did it twice. Then I knew, don't call yet. So someone close to him now called me and told me that, Pastor, you need to talk to so and so person. I said, I will. I picked the phone again. I didn't call him. I dropped it. If I started chatting on WhatsApp, I deleted it. I just was waiting for something. So early one morning, I just knew, call him now. I just sent him a text. I said, I want to talk to you. When can we see? I said, the response he gave was very interesting. He said, it's at your call, sir. Anything you say. I've not seen this person in a while. He said, anything you say, sir. So he now said that morning, he had a vision that I was trying to tell him something. But he didn't know what it was. And he had to see me. It was this about the time I sent him that text. Now, apparently why I was waiting was I wanted him to be ready to hear it. Are you following what I'm saying? So, there's leading and there's leading in the leading. I wanted him to be ready to hear it. Sometimes you can say something at the wrong time. So, I want to tell people, knowing you are going to do something doesn't end there. Knowing where to do it, when to do it. Like that song Pastor Wally gave us, that was 2009 or so. I know what to do. I know where to do. I know how to do. So it's important. Where and where. And how. So as he said that, this was just 2 days ago. I said, exactly. Now I'll see him. So he knew I was going to see him. And so he was ready to hear me. Hallelujah. I was going to talk to a minister friend too about something for a few months. I was now praying about it. I knew I was going to talk about it. I prayed. He called me twice. He said, "Do you want to say something?" And I smiled. I said, I first said, and I could be very funny. I said, not really. We just had a gist. He called again. So one day when we were talking, and I said, "Have you thought about it?" He said, "Exactly. I've been having it in my heart to talk to you about it." So apparently, I waited till he was ready. And it took months. Sometimes it can take 2 years. Now, I learned that again from Kenneth Hagin. The daughter-in-law, Pastor Lynette, we used to call her Miss Lynette, she's 75. God forgive us. She said that he will come to the office. But if you know Kenneth Hagin, he was a very strange person. Bobby Yandian said he used to feel that he was a fourth member of the Godhead. Then he will come to our office. Now, Pastor Hagin's office was just down the aisle. He had them, or down the lobby. Then the wife's office was there. He will come to Mrs. Lynette's office and sit down there. He will come at the same time, maybe 4 o'clock. You read newspapers, magazines, then you say bye-bye. He did it again and again. He will come at the same time, leave at the same time. Now, knowing him, she now asked, said, "Brother Hagin, is there something you want to say?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "Pastor so-and-so." "Say this man." You know, it's just something I've also learned. Just wait. Wait. Sometimes I say, how, you know, you wait till it is going to be received. So it's good to be slow. When I was younger, I was quick. I was what I wanted. You know, but no. There's also a when. Knowing a when is important. Praise God. Yeah. Acts 19:21. Paul proposed in the spirit where there's a resolve. You know, sometimes when you keep praying and hearing God's word, it's like you are fortified to do something, a particular thing. And that's proposed in it, and it's in the spirit. It's not like you are walking it up. No, it's being worked out. A resolve. There's just a resolve in your spirit. A resolve. Hallelujah. So you can see the different ways the inward witness presents itself. Stirred, grieved, known, pressed, perceived, resolved. Look at Acts 20:22. "Now behold, Paul, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem." Now, Paul is a very interesting person here. Let me just add this to how language is used. The word bound there is the word used for prisoners. Deismos is for prisoners. So, he said, "I go bound in the spirit." Now, look at what he has said. He said, "Not knowing the things that shall befall me, save with the Holy Ghost witnesses." Alright? Saying with the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now look at a play of words there. Now, they are eventually going to chain him. So he's now saying, before they have done it, I am bound in the spirit. He uses what is going to happen to him as what is happening to him. In other words, it is not going to be a surprise. He said, "I go bound in the spirit." I hope I'm right with the best verse. If I get the Greek word wrong, I will correct myself. But it's the same word used for holding prisoners. Like, I am imprisoned in the spirit. I don't know what is going to befall me. Save the Holy Ghost and everything that imprisonment awaits me. So the inward witness already had the experience. Sometimes, you will have known what it is. There will be a knowing that experience will have happened in your spirit or through your spirit. And so it prepares you in obedience. See, I don't count my life there. Paul. Then you now find Acts 21, where they prophesied, then Agabus spoke as well. Then Acts 27, where, Acts 21, I mentioned that, where Agabus prophesied was, okay, the disciples spoke to him by the Spirit. Acts 21 verse 4 through to 5. The daughters of Philip spoke to him as well. Acts 21, 8 and 9. Then also Agabus, Acts 21, 10, 11. And he first Acts 22. You know, all his experience and all that. Acts 22, verse 18. Make haste, you know, a vision now. Acts 23, verse 11. So, God's leading is a combination of everything. You have the inward witness, you have utterances, then you have divinely granted appearances. So you must be ready to obey it. It will come at you. You know, then Acts 27, where an angel appeared to him. Of course, initially he said, I perceive, Acts 27. When he said, I perceive that, verse 10, there will be more damage here in verse 11. Then in Acts 27 verse 23 to 24, where he had the angel appear to him. In all the instances, Paul knew exactly what God was saying. And that's the characteristic of God's leading. Romans 8:15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but through adoption by we cry Abba Father. And the spirit bears witness, so material, it means what is in our spirit is the Holy Ghost. It will have the same witness. So you'll be very clear as touching what the Lord is saying to you. Now let me just close with this one. Let's close here. In Judges 6, and I'm actually saying this part of it is not in the teaching, it's something that was laid upon my heart to share with everyone. In Judges 6, we find a man, Gideon, do what is called laying a fleece. Now, a fleece is when you make a calculation. Look at what he said. Judges 6 and 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. So he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of full water. And he said to God, let not the anger be hot against me, for I will speak. But this once let me prove, I pray thee. But this once with the fleece, let it now not be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. He's playing with a whole lot of fire. Now, fleece is like you are making a guesswork. Well, if this happens, this will happen. It's a dangerous terrain, because Satan can manipulate things very easily. And you know, when we talk about the devil is not someone that is in one sky. He's in men and he uses men. And what you tell men is something the devil can hear. I'm very sure that Joseph and Mary did not disclose to their family they were going to Egypt. By the time they told the cousin will tell the uncle will tell somebody, and definitely Herod will hear. And then angels will start doing overtime. You understand? So put the fleece out. Don't put the fleece out. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are not led by fleeces. You know, when I do this, when I do that, then I'll do this. I mentioned this last week about don't set unnecessary goals. Be flexible with goals. Be more particular about obeying God. Be flexible with goals. By 2021, I must have. By 2020, I must have. Oftentimes, when you do that, you will now have, because I've said something that I want to do this at this time. Like I said, Satan is the god of this world. He can bring that thing to pass. If you listen to unbelievers talk about when they set dates and when it came to pass, you'll be shocked. And they said, we said this, And we said that. I mean, I used to read Obafemi very well. And I can tell you certain things he said that were exactly where he said it. He practically predicted June 12. Of course, people believe he was spiritual, blah, 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 and all that. But it's still the same thing. If you start setting goals and you are not flexible, it will happen. That's not the point. But Christians always know when they have this sense of fulfillment, then underneath lack of fulfillment. When people are going to clap for you, they would rejoice with you. But when you are alone, you know, some, like we said earlier, like you wash your socks, your feet with socks on. And human beings are difficult judges. Look at throughout history. Majority usually clap for the wrong thing. That's what I said. When you see people are just traveling to a place, I mean, there's just an open, you know, leave Nigeria, leave Ghana, leave this and go. For a Christian, be slow. Be slow. Be slow. It's not wrong to take opportunities. But don't be led by opportunities. Be led by the Spirit of God. See, let me say something as we close. You see, if your fulfillment is in land, car, houses, career, having children, having husband, having wife, you know, one thing is clear. Everything will end in this world. Somebody made a very remarkable statement, you know, a couple of years ago. He said, if all you give to your parents is money, your children, just give them money and all that. He said, even if you buy them the best cars, if they die, they'll go to hell. He said, and that car remains on earth. It's of no value. You know, that's something you should think about. So, there is an unfulfillment a believer will have when he is naturally fulfilled. And there's a fulfillment a believer will have when he's not naturally fulfilled. You can't explain it because it's God's leading. Amen. I want us to just pray 1 minute. Just pray.